Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is it text number 17? Chaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam harir. Bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi. Yatra kvava badrama buramushyakim. Kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmata. Chatva svadharmam charanam bhujam harir. Bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi. Yatra kvava badrama buramushyakim. Kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmata. Chaktva. Having forsaken svadharmam, one's own occupational engagement. Charana ambujam, the lotus feet. Hare, of Hari, the Lord. Bhajan, in the course of devotional service. Apakvaha, immature. Ata, for the matter of. Patit, falls down. Tataha, from that place. Yadi, if. Yatra, where upon. Qua, what sort of. Va, or, used sarcastically. Abhadram, unfavorable. Abhut, shall happen. Amushya, of him. Kim, nothing. Kava artaha, what interest. Aptaha, obtained. Abhajatam, of the non-devotee. Svadharmataha, being engaged in occupational service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport. As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound, not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharata Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chitraketu also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there is a chance of falling down. Because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamila is one of them. Ajamila in his early life was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still he was saved by the Lord at the end. Chaktva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan apakvo ta patet tato yadi kvava vabhadram abudamushya kim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. It's not that the authorities promoting devotional service, beginning with the authorless authority of the original Vedas, it's not that these authorities are claiming that there is no possibility of fall down in devotional service. It's acknowledged very openly that there's risk involved, that one will not in every case succeed, that we are conditioned souls, we are attracted by illusion, and we have been for many lifetimes. That attraction can always overcome us and all our good intentions, and anyone can fall down. At least any sadhaka who has not yet achieved perfection, any aspirant, can fail. It's possible. That is reality. We are struggling souls entrapped by the material energy. Entrapped by the material energy, but it doesn't mean that we don't have Krishna's protection at the same time. Krishna protects everybody. He has a two-tier system of protection. There are two different topics in the Bhagavatam, Poshanam and what is it, Stanam and Poshanam. Stanam is general maintenance, protection that he provides for every living being, including those who are inimical to him or just negligent of him. He takes care of them. Necessities of life are provided to everyone in different degrees and with different levels of comfort and ease of acquisition. But everybody gets something. People manage to live. Sometimes there's starvation. Sometimes there are disasters. But generally, people's lives go on. Even the lives of the envious, the demoniac, Krishna provides them. The air to breathe, the light to see with, the food to eat, arrangement for procreation. Everything's provided to everybody, basically, in general. So even though we're slaves of Maya, that's on one level. On the other level, we're still under Krishna's protection. The whole program of the Vedic revelation is to guide the living entities back to their original position. Their original position as servants of the Supreme Lord. It's done in different ways, very often gradually and indirectly, but the aim is that we again revive our loving devotion for Krishna. But it's never forced. Krishna never wants to force the living entities to surrender to him. It should be voluntary. It should be an act of voluntary love. So it's never said that you have to perform devotional service. That if you don't, you'll be incarcerated or annihilated. That, you know, you're not forced at gunpoint, at the threat of your life, that you must be Krishna's devotee. That's not the general strategy for recruiting devotees. Some other religions, they do like that. At the point of the sword, you're forced to convert. But Krishna doesn't want to force anyone to convert to his service. It's all voluntary, by reason and by enticements, but never by force. So, that's also understood from this verse. The choice to take to devotional service is ours. It's not forced upon us. And because we are responsible to make our own choices, we have to understand all the ramifications and all the risks involved. Just like a person is going to make a purchase. He's not a dependent. He's a head of the household. He has to make responsible decisions about purchasing things. So every living entity has to make responsible decisions about his spiritual investments. Am I going to invest in devotional service? What does it cost? What are the risks involved? Just like I want to purchase some get involved in some investment plan. So I can expect that I may get a certain percentage of profit from my investment, but there's also a chance that I lose all my money. Risk is involved in any investment. So the investment of one's life into devotional services also involves some risk that you may not succeed. It's a demanding discipline, and not everybody necessarily is able to complete the execution in this lifetime. Many are dragged back by Maya into illusion. We've seen that. We think that ISKCON is something wrong with ISKCON because we lose so many devotees, even gurus and high-placed devotees just fall down. But that is the reality of life in the material world. Anybody who is not 100% Paramahamsa, enriched, having the strength of pure love of God, anyone who is not on that level can fall down. And we see every day devotees falling down. So we have to deal with that reality. It may happen to me too. We never know. Anybody can fall down. So we have to consider, what is the risk? Will I waste all of my endeavor? If I'm dragged away from devotional service, what am I left with? I didn't finish my school. I didn't get a good career. I forego getting married. And now I stop devotional service. Where does it leave me? No position in the spiritual world or in the material world. That's what it may seem like. It may seem very bad investment risk. I give up everything of the material world to try to serve Krishna, then I fail at it. What am I left with? This is the doubt that may be expressed. It's not expressed by Narada. Vyasadeva didn't come out and say that, but Narada is anticipating that doubt. That's what he's replying to in this verse. Don't worry about the risk. It's reasonable risk. Because even if you fail, what do you actually lose? That's what he's asking. Yatra kwa va abhadram. Abud, asya. Amushya. What abhadram or inauspiciousness does the person actually suffer? He's made an attempt at devotional service. He's succeeded to some extent. He's begun to reestablish his relationship with Krishna. He's served and satisfied Krishna and the Vaishnavas for some time. That's only good. There's no bad that can come from that. As Krishna says in the Gita. What is it? Well, he says a few things. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Even a little bit of this endeavor will save one from the greatest fear. What is the greatest fear? That the robbers will come and steal all my money? That someone will stab me in the back and kill me? No, the greatest fear is that you'll take birth next time as an animal and not a human being. So you're guaranteed a human life if you've done some devotional service. In effect, is what Krishna is saying. And then in the, I think it's sixth chapter, where Krishna was instructing Arjuna in the meditational yoga system. And Arjuna wondered, what happens if you fail at that? Krishna said, even in that system, not devotional service, but just meditational yoga, nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tata yat gachati. My dear Arjuna, one who has done good, kalyana krit, he will never face an inauspicious result. So the devotional service meant for the pleasure of Krishna is the highest kind of kalyana, auspicious activity. Even a little bit of it, even unsuccessful devotional service that stopped after some time, the result is only auspicious. You may suffer some reaction for offenses, but the reaction you get for the service you've done makes even the suffering of the offenses worthwhile. It is incalculable how much benefit we get from doing a little bit of devotional service. What to speak of a lot of it? Even though we're still disturbed We're still impatient and dissatisfied. We are reaping more benefit than we can even imagine by being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord in a proper way. And in the other half of the verse, or last line, Kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmata. Someone else who's not trying to engage in devotional service, not necessarily for the reason that he thinks it too risky, but more likely that he's just not interested. He doesn't see the use in devotional service, risks or no risks. He's a materialist. Svadharmataha. He may be very fastidious about following his principles, doing his duty, and sticking to his principles. But if he's not a devotee, then what does he accomplish? What does he accomplish? Nothing of true spiritual value. So better take the risk to practice devotional service, even imperfectly, even failing to continue one's whole life, rather than remain not engaged in Krishna service. That's the point made by Narada in this verse. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Yes, Bhartmanprabhu.
Service, then everyone else is looking up to them, because people who are already practicing devotional service are the only actual reference for people who are not, even more than the Shastras would tell them.
Yes.
So if they see that these people who are taking to devotional service, if their behavior puts people off, like most of the time, even in my own life I can see that in the beginning how much I tortured my parents and others because of an imperfect understanding of devotional service. And not only that, if they also see that people who are going there, they're coming back with nothing and only a few are staying there actually, won't it create such a big negative effect?
Yes. If there's a very high rate of failure, it doesn't look good and it doesn't encourage general mass of people. It doesn't encourage people to want to perform devotional service. It's bad preaching, bad publicity to be doing so poorly ourselves in devotional service. Vyasadeva can understand, but the general person cannot understand when he sees such examples of failure. So there shouldn't be so much. It's not that we should just sweep it under the carpet or hide it in the closet. People aren't stupid. They know how to find their way to get their nose in the closet and see what's going on and stick their nose under the carpet. People find out what we're doing, so we can't hide it. What we have to do is not fail so much. If we want to actually convince the world to do what we're doing, we have to succeed in it. Of course. But even if we don't succeed, you know, we tried our best and we benefit. But if we want to convince the whole world to join us, we have to make a better show. Okay? That's a little pessimistic, but that's the reality. In order to be very successful in preaching, we have to be successful in our own endeavors.
Like, even if we are not faring that well in devotional service, when it comes to the point that we are supposed to speak to somebody and convince them about devotional service, can we behave as though we are really faring well in devotion and we are...
Better to behave honestly. And don't pretend to be better off than you are. Pretend to know more than you know, to be more renounced than you actually are. Be yourself. Be honest. And when a person probes and asks, you know, do you ever suffer? Things like that. Be honest about it. Don't pretend to be more saintly than you are.
If the person doesn't have enough intelligence to understand it, how devotees can have problems and how they can suffer.
Well, try to explain to them. The person, see, it's not just a matter of lack of intelligence, it's really a matter of lack of faith. The person who can't appreciate devotees despite their imperfections, that's not just that he's, you know, he's unfortunate, he's less intelligent, it means he has less faith. He doesn't want to believe in devotees. And he's finding excuses not to believe in them. So, if people are going to be so stubborn as to refuse to appreciate devotees for what they are, what can we do for them? We try to reason, try to explain how devotional service is so auspicious, even if sometimes somebody doesn't follow it properly. The process itself is perfect for the and it shows itself, its potency for those who actually follow it properly. Try to explain that to people. If they can understand, they're fortunate. If they won't and can't, then that's their misfortune. What can we do? All we can do is try to explain. Try to show a good example the best we can. Try to explain things the best we can. We're only human. We do the best we can. And hope for success. Is you comfortable?
I heard several statements in this regard made by different sannyasis. One of them was, suppose if a devotee practices Krishna consciousness, the end, he practices normally and the end, suppose he doesn't attain the highest stage of prema bhakti and then he leaves his body, then he will take birth in a devotee family in a very conducive environment and he will follow. And that is one case. The second case is, suppose if a devotee is practicing and if he falls down and if he gets deviated, he stops following, then he will be promoted to heavenly planets and he will get some material enjoyment there, and until he is frustrated, then either he may come down or he may advance from there and all. So how far is these statements happens, like?
I don't know if the first one sounds right. The second one sounds like it may not always be like that. Depends on what kind of fall down a devotee has. If he has a fall down that involves serious offenses, it's not just a matter of going to heaven. He may have to go suffer some hellish condition first. Maybe not literally go to hell, but suffer for reactions to offenses. It's not that every devotee is automatically at least going to go to heaven. You may go to heaven after you go to hell first. It depends on what kind of offenses have been committed, how serious they are.
Mostly we see people, either even when we are preaching, we see many people are not able to follow regulative principles. So because of that fear, they don't come. And even if they come, some people after following, they're not able to follow strictly, so they go away.
See, what do we mean by cases, what do we mean by come? Get your head shaved up and join the Brahmacharya Ashram? Why not just come and chant Hare Krishna with us and take some prasadam, whether you can follow the regulative principles or not? Why not introduce Krishna consciousness into your life according to your capacity? Take these books and read them. Even if you can't follow the principles, chant Hare Krishna. Encourage other people to do the same, even if you can't follow all the principles. Do it in your home. Do it with your friends. So that's the way we should encourage them to come. Not drag them into the Brahmacharya Ashram when they can't even follow the principles.
So some people, even after taking to Krishna consciousness, then after a long time they feel very difficult, so they go away. Many people we see like that.
Well, better rather than go away, get married, become a decent householder, and carry on how you can, rather than give up altogether.
So that statement that these people will go to heavenly planets is not true, no?
I think it may be true in many cases, but I don't think it's automatically the same for everybody. Yes.
Through here in this verse, it is encouraged that even if after falling down from the spiritual practice, then we should continue instead of giving it up.
Yes.
So, but there is also another verse in fourth canto somewhere. I don't remember. Manya Kundara Sousavat means we are going to the elephant, the example of elephant. He is taking bath, and again when he is coming to the,
yes,
then he is throwing the sands like this. So how it is adjusted, I cannot understand.
This statement, Manya Kundara Sousavat, was spoken by Parikshit in response to the recommendation that materialists, karmis, should perform prayaschita to atone for their sins before they die. This is a karmic prescription. And Parikshit was reacting against that. That people, materialists, non-devotees, perform prayaschita, atonement, and then they do their sins all over again. But that is not in reference to Vaishnavas, to devotees. A devotee, if he fails in devotional service, if he breaks the principles, the only atonement for him is to go back to his devotional service and pick it up again. There's a difference between karma and bhakti. Okay? Yeah. All right. Yes. So I forget about it.
So from one point it is said that we don't lose any sin which we acquired in devotional service. Like we did something for Krishna, we pleased him, and this result will stay with us forever. But at the same time, in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a description of creeper of devotional service and offenses, especially Vaishnava Paratha, which is compared with mad elephant, which can uproot, completely destroy this Bhakti Lata Bija. So how to reconcile it? From one point we don't lose anything, and from other point we can lose everything.
The seed of devotion is never destroyed. You may burn the plant down or rip it out of the ground, but there's something in there, roots or seed, that will grow again, sprout again. Anyone who has ever performed devotional service, no matter what evil he does, what offenses he commits, eventually he'll suffer all the reactions and be able to start again. That the roots are there in the ground. They can't be pulled out. The roots of devotional service, they're too deep. You know, that urge in the heart attracting him toward Krishna. Even the worst fall down won't destroy that.
We may see in many cases of like very very deep fall downs of Vaishnava, like sometimes very elevated Vaishnava, he fell down it seems that in this life he is continuing to be like a materialist. So does it mean that he will continue his devotional service only in next life or in many, many, many life after this?
Depends on the individual. We see many devotees who had were highly positioned, had serious fall downs. We thought we'd never see them again, and they come back. You know, may not come back and properly reinstate themselves in their full position, but they do show their faces again and try to participate as they can. So many of them do come back in this lifetime. And some of them, it's individual. Some of them won't come back in this lifetime, but eventually they will.
So in this case, if we see somebody falling down, we can understand that it's just temporary fall down, and Krishna, he will take care about him because he did something for Krishna. So, and we can still think about him as a devotee.
And also we should react and be careful how we speak and react toward him. We don't want to drive that person away so he never wants to try to come back again. Embarrass him, shame him so much that he'll never come back in this lifetime. We should keep the door open for everybody. Yes?
Mr. Bharat Ram Prabhu was asking about the kind of impression we give to people when we do not perform so well in devotional service, and people become discouraged by that. And we try, as you explained, we should try our best to be very good examples. There is a statement by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur in the 10th canto in his commentaries that sometimes Krishna creates difficulties in the spiritual lives of devotees to keep away insincere people, and so he doesn't, so we don't, in other words, he doesn't allow them to become attracted by devotional service, by our external success somehow, and he even makes devotees miserable, so materialists don't get attracted by devotional service just on the mere fact that it's so blissful. So how do we combine these two, and should we understand that sometimes devotees who experience difficulties in life, they're there to see, to teach us how to see through the difficulties in the very core of the devotional
service? Well, it could be both things at the same time. They've got their own problem. The devotee has a problem. He's falling, he's suffering, he's falling down. That's there. At the same time, Krishna may take advantage of that and use it for his purposes, as you described. There's another similar thing said by Sanatana Goswami in his commentary to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that sometimes devotees collaborate with Krishna. There's a conspiracy between the devotee and Krishna for the devotee to show how making mistakes is the cause of suffering, how you get reactions to doing the wrong things. So devotees will, with Krishna, working together with Krishna, will intentionally show themselves as bad examples to teach others not to do the same thing. Like Yudhishthir, getting in trouble because he was addicted to gambling. So Yudhishthir and Krishna together conspired to teach that lesson to people. Examples like that. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.